Excuse me.
Sie hören die Sendung Wellenlänge. Vous écoutez la transmission Longueur d'onde. Udite la trasmissione Lunghezza d'onde. You are hearing the transmission called Wavelength.
Okay, hello, hello.
How long duration does it record?
Oh, I don't honestly know, but it seems fairly fairly limitless, really, as far as I can tell.
Maybe.
Anyway, it is now recording. I hope. All right. So, if you could you just do you mind just sort of briefly introducing yourself, as it were?
Yes. I am Captain Maurice Seddon. I'm nearly 82. I'm disabled. I'm a multi-invalid. I'm impoverished by the collapse of two pension funds, of which Equitable Life was one. I have lived in Datchet Cottage, an ancient historic crumbling structure in the village of Datchet, for the past 50 years, since 1958.
Excellent. Okay. And well, the reason I'm calling you is for you to bring us up to date, really, with your ongoing issue about barking dogs. In other words, you have a neighbour who has complained about your barking dogs, and you have he has taken you to court, or in fact the council has taken you to court on a noise abatement prosecution. How many times has this now been to court, Maurice?
Unfortunately, my memory being bad, I don't know. Several times.
Several times.
Three or four times.
Yeah. Now, you won the case the first time, didn't you?
Yes. My opponents argue that only happened on, quote, a technicality, unquote. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I don't know.
And in theory, they can keep on bringing the case, because each time... I don't know, what is it, some time elapses, 3 months or something, they can, in effect, just start the whole proceedings over and over again.
Well, I gather they can do it every day if they want to, for an indefinite period, because each time all they have to alter is the period of time over which they noted or recorded the noise.
Yes, and it is only one person who's complaining about the barking of your dogs.
Well, until very recently, the council and everybody else always said it's only one, and it's Peter Hardwick, which is the next door neighbour. But very recently, they've begun saying there are more than one, but they're not willing to tell me, A, how many, or who they are.
Right.
So whether that is true or false, I can't tell you.
Yeah. And you are still fairly reticent to tell anyone how many dogs you actually have.
Well, I mean, it is of the order of 10.
Right. Okay. More or less 10 dogs then.
Of the order of.
Okay. Now, what was the latest development was that you represented yourself in court. At Reading Crown Court, I think.
Right. 28th of January, if my memory is correct.
Yeah. And what happened there?
I lost. It was an appeal against the loss of the appeal on the previous court.
Right.
And I lost that appeal.
Right, okay. So, in effect, the outcome of that, the council have basically won that case, or that court hearing.
Yes.
And they now give you what? A certain time in which to basically do something about the dogs?
Well, the situation is uncertain. One just doesn't know what we're about. prior to this, during the periods between one appeal and another, they were always kind enough or good enough, or possibly the law requires them to, I don't know. They put on hold both any costs from the court charges, and also they put on hold the noise abatement order. After the after I lost the case in the 28th of January, on the 31st of January, I sent off the necessary papers to the European Court of Human Rights. And a few days after that, about roughly 6th, 7th of February, I wrote letters to the council and the relevant people and said, will you please be kind enough, just as you did with the English courts, now do the same with the European court, and also put both these items on hold.
Yeah.
Now, then we have a mysterious situation. They allege that they did not receive either of two letters, which were spaced by 2 days. They were sent separately, one related to the money side and the other related to the noise abatement side. And they allege that they did not receive either of these letters, which I find very suspect. But
yeah,
of course one can't prove anything.
No.
So I then sent them copies, and they did acknowledge receipt of one of them. I don't think I've had an acknowledgement of the other one. I hope they received it.
So you've written to the European Court, what's it called? The Council of Europe?
The European Court of Human Rights.
Oh, I see. Right, yes, okay.
It is in Strasbourg in France.
Yeah, and they have acknowledged your application?
Acknowledged the application and have allocated a case number.
Right, okay. And on what grounds are you appealing to the
Well, now that is the whole point. I know in my own words what I'm appealing about, but my difficulty lies in the fact that I have got to couch this in terms of which particular aspects of the laws that govern that court am I relying upon to win my case.
Yeah.
That is where I fall down, because I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, and there is a time limit on this, isn't there?
It has to be in within 6 months of the date of their sending me the papers, which is now about 1 month ago.
Right.
And if it's not in by then, they will destroy the whole file.
Right. And in the meantime, the court proceedings here in England are continuing. Is that right?
No, the court proceedings in England expired with the 28th of January operation, because beyond that I cannot go. I've reached the limit of what the English courts can do.
Yes, but by that I mean that as far as the English courts are concerned, they think they have won the case as it stands, and they have sent you warning of the fact that bailiffs might visit you and so on, haven't they? Or?
They have sent me threatening letters, threatening possible legal action if I do not comply with the noise abatement order.
Yeah.
Then I heard on good authority, I shan't say the name of the person who told me, that he had been told by a conservative county councillor, whose name is, wait a minute, I'll get it in a minute. No, I can't get it. It's a difficult name. Jesse Gray.
Uh-huh.
Jesse Gray had said that it would be a good thing if my informant would tell me that he, Jesse Gray, if something was not done about the noise abatement order soon, that he would be having to make preparations for sending in bailiffs to remove the dogs.
Right. Okay. And so do you have any indication of when that might happen?
No, but I think that I believe I'm right in saying that the noise abatement order has an expiry period of something like 14 days or 28 days, as the case may be,
uh-huh,
as from probably the 28th of January. So it's long expired.
Right. And you haven't heard anything else since then?
Oh, there's been correspondence and there have been telephone calls.
Oh, right.
The thing is completely inconclusive.
Yeah.
What they are saying, in effect, is that whereas they can do this thing of putting it on hold for the English courts, for reasons that they do not specify, they cannot or will not do it for the European court.
Right.
I've written to them and said, if you insist on this, if you insist upon implementing the monetary side and the noise abatement side, including the dog removal, I have to tell you that in my considered opinion, you are discriminating against those appellants to the European Court as distinct from the appellants to the English Court.
Yes.
I went on to say it is clear to me that there is a certain resentment by the English authorities towards the European Court. If you should implement this, I shall most certainly make a point of complaining to the European Court concerning your action.
Yeah.
And then I also said in my letter, would not the Council find itself in a very invidious position if it were to implement both these things without putting them on hold, and if then, perchance, I should happen to win my case at the European Court? What would then be the situation if I won that case after you had deprived me of all my dogs and after you made me pay this money?
Yes. But,
I had a sort of hummed and hard answer to that one. Either they don't know whether they would or would not be in an invidious position, that is possible, or they don't want to admit that they would be in an invidious position. Either of these is possible. But they're in effect saying that, they haven't really given any very positive answer either way. The whole thing's floating up in the air.
Yeah. Do you know what do they do with the dogs if they take them away?
I presume they give them to a dog's home or give them to the RSPCA to have them put down, I would imagine. Possibly they try and find a good home for them. I don't know.
So if they ignore the fact that you have appealed to the European Court and just remove your dogs in the meantime, and then the European Court find in your favour, they could, in theory, they could be in a situation where they have disposed of your pets, your dogs, and they would be unable to reverse that, because it's not the same as just repaying a fine, is it?
I mean, exactly that.
Yeah. So that's a fairly strange situation. I don't know. What will you do if they sort of suddenly arrive and say, we've come to take your dogs away?
Well, I think in the first instance, I shall resist their entry and I shall refuse to let them in.
Right.
And I don't know whether they can then force an entry straight away or whether they have to get special permission from a judge or somebody, maybe, to break in.
Yeah.
I shall only let the dogs go if I'm forced by superior force to do so.
Yeah. I mean, your house, you have sort of, you have kind of grounds around your house and quite a high fence, don't you?
I have a 6-foot fence all the way round. It's an ancient cottage contained in a relatively large piece of, not garden, there isn't a garden, a relatively large piece of woodland. And this is fenced all the way round, and the gates are, because of the problems I have here, locked, barred, chained and bolted.
Yeah.
But of course, all that can easily be broken down.
Yes, so if these bailiffs arrive and they say, you know, they ring your bell and demand to be let in, you are prepared to resist them entering your premises?
Within the limits of my very frail force, yes.
Yeah. Well, they would have to cut through chains, wouldn't they, and knock down gates?
Yes, either that or smash through the woodwork.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose then they would then have the task, if they gained entry to your garden, they would then have to find all the 10 dogs within your grounds, because they just sort of run free, don't they?
They do.
Yeah. Which could be quite, that I would imagine that would be fairly difficult for them.
I don't know. I just, since this is something that hasn't happened, I have no precedent to go by.
Right, right. And have they suggested that they would leave you with any of the dogs?
My neighbour suggested...
abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
I som här inträden, låt en hoppet fara.
Abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
The doors, please.
Har du god topp plats? Dörrarna stängt.
Mind the doors, please.
Har du god topp plats? Dörrarna stängt.
Inte det där huset rivas.
That place ought to be torn down.
Riv huset.
Tear the place down.
Green.
Law and order!
Red, yellow, green, yellow, red, yellow.
Tycker du inte att det där huset ska rivas?
Don't you think that place should be torn down?
Riv huset!
Tear the place down!
Marknadsföringsinstitutets strukturerande datainformationsalternativa produktionsanalyser av divergenta enhetsobservationer och konvergenta profiluppbärande informationsvariabler, konsumentdimensionerade av nationalekonomiska omsättningsproduktioner och statliga kreativitetsinriktade planeringseffekter för samhällsbetingade industristrukturella konsumtionsenhetliga komplex.
The Marketing Institute's Fluctuating Computer Alternative Production Analysis of Divergent Unit Observations and Convergent Profile Supporting Information Variables, Consumer Dimensioned by National Economic Turnover Productions and Government Creativity Directed Planning Effects for Communalized Industrial Structured Consumer Uniform Complex.
Marknadsföringsinstitutets strukturerande datainformationsalternativa produktionsanalyser.
The Marketing Institute's Fluctuating Computer Alternative Production Analysis
av divergenta enhetsobservationer och konvergenta profiluppbärande informationsvariabler
av Divergent Unit Observations and Convergent Profile Supporting Information Variables.
Ska vi inte riva det där huset?
Why not tear that place down?
Riv huset!
Tear the place down.
Konsumentdimensionerade av nationalekonomiska omsättningsproduktioner och statliga kreativitetsinriktade planeringseffekter.
Consumer dimension by national economic turnover productions and government creativity directed planning effects.
För samhällsbetingade industristrukturella konsumtionsenhetliga komplex.
For communalized industrial structured consumer uniform complexes.
Marknadsföringsinstitutets strukturerande datainformation.
Truth. The master fluctuating computer or analysis of the of divergent survey and constant profile support information variables consumer dimension by national and government effect planning thing of industry structure.
Riv huset!
Tear the place down!
Riv kvarteret!
Tear the block down!
Riv stadsdelen!
Tear the district down!
Riv stan!
Tear the whole city down!